I see those hands. God bless you. Oh, julle groet my. Hallelujah. Just before we get started, I just want to give you that scripture reference for that thing about the water that the Lord showed me. It's from Isaiah 54 and from verse 16 and up to and including verse 17. And it says, I've created the blacksmith who fans the coals beneath the forge and makes the weapons of destruction. I've created the armies that destroy. God said, I've created those things. But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. Hallelujah. That's encouraging. The very things that the enemy has planned for this nation. How many, before we get into the sermon and what we're going to speak about this morning, how many of you have heard on social media that voice clip going around by Dr. Arthur Frost concerning the curse that was spoken over South Africa and God's answer to that? Anybody else? Okay, several people. But in a long, cut a long story short, God has been telling intercessors and prayer warriors throughout the country that from 2012, and I believe even before, whenever a curse was spoken out over this nation. And we've become aware of this, so he's asked prayer warriors to get together to pray and to cancel this thing, but various things have to take place first. The people and the Church of Jesus Christ and individuals have been called to a time of personal repentance for our own sins. You see, because that's where and how the enemy can get things right in anybody's life. If there's any area of willful, deliberate, continuous, unrepented sin in your life, the enemy has a right to wreak havoc in your life. But when we repent of those things, ask God to forgive us and have our relationship restored with the Father through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we can stand our ground again to stop the curse of the enemy. But then the scripture also teaches that when you bind a strong man and clean up a house, if that house is left empty, it must be filled with something. And then we call and speak God's blessing over the nation, over our towns and everything like that. So corporately, I'd like us to do that as a body of believers this morning. Also, individually, and the first thing I did was, yes, Lord, where's the areas in my life where I've allowed a curse to operate because of sin in my life? Before I even looked outside. So before we go and point fingers and blame people, governments and leaders and whatever, political parties for the things that have happened in this nation, is it okay if we just take stock of our own lives and look right there where you sit? If there's anybody that has not sinned, could you please raise your hands? Because then you need to come here and carry on preaching. And I'm not preaching because I haven't sinned, but because I realize that I need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that I can share this with you this morning. So let's take time as we just do this in obedience to what Lord has laid on the hearts of intercessors throughout the country. And I'll just lead us in a prayer this morning as we say, Father, first and foremost, we ask that you forgive us of our sins, Lord. We're not looking to blame anybody. We take responsibility. Here, for dit waar ons droog gemaak het. Here, ons vra u vir vergifnis. U is 'n God van liefde en 'n God van genade, maar ook 'n God van geregtigheid en regverdigheid. And we ask you, Lord, to forgive us. We say, God, we are sorry for allowing the enemy into our lives and for any curse to be operative and active in our lives. Have mercy upon us in the name of Jesus and forgive us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then we ask, Lord, that we stand in the gap for this nation, Lord God. Every curse that's been spoken over this nation, Lord. Every blood sacrifice, Lord God, that has been made, Lord God. Every act of disobedience, Lord God, from anybody that has allowed the enemy to wreak havoc in this nation, Lord God. Morally, spiritually, socially, financially, with a land as well, Lord God, not bearing fruit. We ask, Lord God, that we cancel those things right now in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord God, we stand in the gap like a priest would bring an animal and sacrifice it on behalf of others. Lord, we bring a sacrifice of prayer to you, Lord God. Willingly we bring this to say, Lord, forgive this nation. Forgive its people. Forgive South Africa, Lord God, across racial divisions, Lord God, across social backgrounds, Lord God, ethnic divisions, across all of those things, Lord. There are people in this nation. We ask, forgive South Africa, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Then we want to speak God's blessing over this nation, Lord God, to take a place of this curse, Lord. We pray your blessing, Lord God, over people financially and physically, Lord, in the name of Jesus. The promises that you promise, Lord God, that we can receive more, so much more than the blessings and promises spoken to Abraham, Lord God. We have the blessings of the new covenant, Lord God, that there's grace and the blessings that grace brings. We speak that over our lives as individuals, over our loved ones, over our families, over this nation, over our churches, over leaders, Lord God, over schools, over the emergency services, Lord God, over the infrastructure, Lord God, over the health services, Lord God, everything that makes a nation run well, Lord, we speak your blessing. And it can only come from you, Lord God, that you turn this around in this nation in the name of Jesus. And then, Lord, in closing, we want to serve notice on the enemy. We want to tell you, Satan, your time is up. Your time is up, because God is who he says he is. He's not who the world thinks he is. He is who he says he is. And he's God over all. He has made you, Satan. And God will crush you underneath our feet in the name of Jesus. Your people rise up in faith and in obedience and in humble submission to you. These things come to pass in this country, not because we are great, but because you are great. Lord, as what came out in the prayer meeting this morning, we can do so little, but you can do so much. Have your way in this nation in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Right, now I am done preaching. Now we can all go home. Hallelujah. Ek gaan net 'n stukkie water vat before we carry on any further. Look. How many of you remember the Sasol advert? Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Hallelujah. All right, we've concluded our series on fruitfulness, and it's the first vision sermon of the year. Three, maybe four times a year, we speak about what the vision of Bikers Church is, to make sure that our vision is sharp and crystal clear and to remind us of what it is. Because the scripture teaches that without vision, people cast off restraint. Without vision, people perish. And without knowledge of God's vision, and this is not something that we put together, we believe that this is the vision that God has given us for this ministry. Can you say amen? All right. So, the vision of Bikers Church is... You know what I find so funny? The way people's eyes move. Some people's eyes are moving around like, ek weet nie waar van hulle praat nie, and other people are looking, where's the banner? Oh yeah, there it is. I know. But we're going to preach it and preach it and preach it until we know it and we live it. Can you say amen? Because these slim men said, uitgewerk, you know they talk about they say, they is die slim men say. Hulle het gesê, it takes approximately 19 times for a person to see something advertised before they make a buying decision. So I don't know how many times I've preached on vision, but we're going to look at vision. And the vision of Bikers Church is, we're going to read it together so that everybody doesn't know, there it is. We're going to read it together. Can you say amen? All right. The vision of Bikers Church is bringing the unchurched into the family of God to advance his kingdom. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. To start off with, opening scripture I'd like to read is Matthew 16. And verse 18, from the New Living Translation, Jesus says, now I say to you, I think Jesus establishes his authority there, God in the flesh, the fullness of God embodied in a physical body, I say to you that you are Peter, and it means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Some people incorrectly teach that Jesus was saying, upon Peter, he's going to build his church on Peter, and Peter was the first bishop or the pope of the church. That's not true. Jesus was saying that on what Peter has said, because Peter said, you are the Christ. You, Christ means the anointed one. And Jesus said to him, man hasn't told you this, but the Spirit of God, heaven has revealed this to you. And upon this statement that you have made, I will build my church. I will build my church on the fact that I am the Christ. I'm the cornerstone of the church. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And all the prophecies are fulfilled in me. and I will bring to pass those which are not yet fulfilled. So that's what Jesus meant when he said, you are Peter, and on this rock. The statement that you have made, Peter, there is no scriptural evidence and there is no secular evidence in history or anywhere else to prove that Peter was the first bishop or the first pope of any kind of any church that Jesus chose as a unique church. Can you say amen to that? So let's just get that out of the way. He says, now I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Two things I'd like to highlight out of that. He says, I will build my church. Folks, in spite of the mistakes that the church has made, in spite of the mistakes that the church will still make, in spite of the mistakes that we make as Bikers Church. Hello. This church makes mistakes because look who's the pastor. Sorry, but this is all you've got for now. What do you need? What must you do if you need a, if you want a better pastor? Thank you, Connie. Pray for him. Pray for me. And we joke about it, but people, you don't know how serious I am when I say that. I'm serious. Pray for me, please. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. He says, so in spite of the mistakes that the church makes and will continue to make and has made, in spite of the mistakes that there's splinter groups in churches and different groups and ek kom nie meer oor die weg met jou nie, so ek begin my, in spite of all of that, Jesus has said, I will build my church. I rejoice this morning that He is the master builder. We this morning have the privilege of being part of that building process. Folks, people get together and we hire buildings and we pay for buildings and we make it mooi and ons het mooi gemaak daar langs. And isn't that awesome to see what God is next door? Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. And you know why that's been possible? Because of faithful men and women like yourselves who honor God with your money. You put your money where your mouth is. You say you love God. You say you worship God. And you put your money where your mouth is. I want to give the Lord a praise offering for you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for faithful men and women who honor you with their finances. And you've made it possible for stuff like that to take place. And we do all of these things, but at the end of the day, Jesus said, I will build my church. And folks, regardless of what is happening in the world, regardless of how we see a nation crumbling before us, there's a kingdom that is being built. May God give us eyes to see and ears to hear. He says there's a kingdom being built, and that's His kingdom. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I'm encouraged this morning that God is busy building His church. Jesus is building His church through the Holy Spirit coming upon people, touching people, motivating them to get involved in a body and doing things in the body of Christ. The kingdom of God is being built. And we know that the kingdom of God is, it's heaven, right? No. What is the kingdom of God? Speak to me, church. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what He's busy building. He's busy building righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit inside people's hearts and lives. It's happening all over the world, and it's continue to happening because Jesus Christ is building His church. Right now, God puts people in the body as He sees fit. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleases. He's speaking about the body of Christ, and He uses a parable. He uses it's a metaphor. I don't know what a metaphor is in Afrikaans, but He describes the church like a human body. Have you seen a kidney decide? The kidney decides, you know what? I don't like it here in this part of the body. I'm going to now move to another part of the body. Do you? Hey. Baie welkom aan meneer en mevrou Brits. Wees geluk, vir die eerste keer is meneer en mevrou Brits. Baie welkom hierso. I had the privilege of marrying Dennis and Marika last weekend. But you don't see organs deciding in their body just to like move. Imagine you wake up one morning and your foot has decided, no, it wants to be on the left-hand side of your head. Hoe werk dit dan? Julle lag. But then people do that. People decide, ach, you know what? I don't like this. Hey, people are creatures. You know, church, being a pastor of a church, people who, I don't say this. I know other pastors that have said this. Okay. Pastoring a church would be wonderful if it wasn't for the people. But yellow is Oleg. It's I love everybody and you're next. Mwah, 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 mwah. I love everybody and you're next. People decide to say, yeah, but this doesn't, I don't like this in this church anymore. I don't like that in that church anymore. So I come on, move. Now I know that God sends people out, but make sure that you sent and you don't just went. There's a difference between sent out by the Lord and just wenting. Can you say amen? Because God places you in the body. God places you in the body. It says here, He has set the members, each one of them. Each one of them. If you believe that this is your spiritual home, if you believe that God has sent you, and Mensa, there's people in this church that can back me up. You've heard me say, I don't want you in this church. Have you heard me say that? Thank you. I don't want you unless God wants you here. I'm not on a mission to go and quick and never leader to Biker Church to build a big church. God has not called me to build a big church. He's called me to win motorcyclists, their friends and families to the Lord Jesus, one heart at a time. That's what He's called me to do. So I'm not out to garner new membership because that's God's responsibility. He places people in the body as He sees fit. He has done this, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. So if you, my brother, my sister, are at a place in this morning where you believe God has sent you here, guess what? He's placed you here. He's placed you here. Maybe you've been church hopping, maybe you've been church shopping, trying to find a spiritual home, and that's fine. Find a place and then stay there. Be the planting of the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus is building His church. The next thing I want to highlight, He says, all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Ladies and gentlemen, people have said Christianity is a crutch. It's not a crook. People lean on it. Everybody needs something to believe in to get through life. Well, I want to tell you this much. If Christianity is a crutch, then I am as crippled as they come. That's it. Unashamedly, irrevocably, I am as crippled as they come. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need Him every day just to live right. Amen, man. I need Him every day. If Christianity is a crutch, then I am as crippled as they come. And people say, oh yeah, it's just a crutch and you know, you just need something. Everybody needs something to believe in. Yes, you know why? Because God made you like that. Romans tells us that God has placed an inbuilt something inside of you that everybody will seek to find the living God. Some people choose to worship statues made with people's hands. Some people choose to worship demigods and false gods and all sorts of other things. But the fact remains, God is placed inside every human being. Every human being worships and believes something. Even those that believe nothing. They believe that they believe nothing. You can't get away from that fact. And if that's the case, if Christianity is a crutch, then I want to say this much, that I need that crutch. And His name is Jesus Christ. I need that crutch. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says here, Jesus says, that the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. In some translations, He says the gate is a symbol of, it represents the authority and the government and the decision makers and the rulers of a city. That's what it symbolizes. That's why in some translations it says that. In the NLT, it says, all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Okay? So the naysayers will say, yeah, Christianity's just a crutch, and there's opposition to the church. There's opposition to the church being built. Jesus is giving us an insight as to what it's like in church life. You see, people say, yeah, you know, Christianity's is just a crutch, and they think that it's weak men and it's weak women that have to rely on this crutch to get by. But Jesus says, opposition will come from hell. Here's the truth, people, and listen to this. Let this sink into your spirit. Not everybody that comes to church loves Jesus. Not everybody that comes to church loves Jesus. The enemy sends people on a specific assignment to take apart fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. To take them apart. to destroy their lives, to destroy their marriages, to destroy their finances, to destroy their health. Because if you kill the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And you know they speak about the branch at the top of the tree catches the most wind? It's like that. And it's not like I'm saying, oh, yeah, no, please help me, the devil's coming. He comes for everybody, but this is his strategy. This is his strategy. So the enemy sends people into a body to break the body up, to make statements that bring division, to cause division in the body, to cause dissension in the body, to sow seeds of doubt in the body amongst the believers. Make derogatory negative comments about each other in the body. The enemy sends people like that. And you know what? You know what the scripture describes them to be? False brethren. False brothers. False brothers. They talk Christianese up there with the best of them. Quote scriptures and this, and God says this and God said it, and the Spirit told me this and the Spirit told me that. But I tell you now, they're of their father, the devil. Straight. If you don't like what I'm preaching this morning, you take it up with Jesus. He said it in John 8. So we're going to experience opposition in the church, folks. We're going to experience opposition. But Jesus says, all the forces of hell will not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Wow, what did God say to us prophetically this morning before we even started? I've made these things that have come to... I didn't make them to destroy you, but the things that are trying to destroy you, I've made them. I've created them, man. Relax. I've got this. God is saying, I've got this. Take a chill pill. Relax. I've got this. Be on your guard. Be vigilant. I've got this. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that we can expect great opposition. But we will overcome them all. I said we will overcome them all. Why? Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things, what things? Paul describes in Romans 8 there all the bad things that have happened and will happen. Why do we think that it will not happen to us? He says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Here's the thing about the kingdom of heaven. In the New King James, it says this. I like it only in this translation. Matthew 11 and verse 12, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven. So I'm going to paraphrase. Jesus says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven, I'm going to say it like this. Let me try this again. I'm so excited this put this flying here. He says, from the days from the days of John the Baptist until now, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now I'm going to quote something from the Dake's Study Bible. If you want a riller of a study Bible, get the Dake's Study Bible. Some of the stuff is from him, but the rest of it is, oh, it's awesome. It says this. I say this, not Dake's. The promises of God's kingdom are not just going to be poured out into our laps simply because we're believers. Say, but I believe. Why is it? No, no, no. The promises of God are not simply going to be poured out into our laps simply because we believe. Why? Because the enemy wants to mess up God's plans. And he wants to mess up God's people. But here's the idea. When it says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Up until then, what was known about the kingdom of heaven was only known prophetically. The prophets would prophesy certain things, and a lot of it was abstract. Then John the Baptist comes along, and Jesus says of him, of those born of woman, there's none greater than John the Baptist. But I tell you, that if you humble yourself, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than this oak called John the Baptist, because they consider this oak is a serious prophet. I mean, this oak is a maneer. Jesus said this of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus. And then Jesus comes and he starts fulfilling these prophecies. And this is the idea about the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. So from the time of John's preaching, Jesus starts showing them the kingdom of heaven. And there's times when Jesus does things and he says, the kingdom of heaven is amongst you. The kingdom of heaven is within your midst. Some translations say the kingdom of heaven is within you. That's why some cults believe that heaven is in your head. Heaven's not in your head. Hello. So if you get shot in the head, what is there, a hole right through heaven? I think not. But that's for another time. Yalalach, but some people believe that heaven is in your head. Heaven's not in your head, man. That gray matter that is in your head, use that and read the Bible. You'll see that heaven ain't in your head. Please, church. So this is the idea. So now Jesus is starting to show them the kingdom of heaven. And here's the idea, is that before John, the kingdom could only be viewed in the light of prophecy. But now that it was preached, men were pressing into it with great enthusiasm. They were pressing into it with great enthusiasm. Where did we get that? The woman with the issue of blood, pressing through the crowds. She pressed through the crowds, all her money spent on doctors, and the doctors say, sorry, there's nothing we can do for you. How long have I got to live? I don't know. So he has pressing through the crowds. And then the blind is saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And they tell him, be quiet. And the more they tell him to be quiet, the louder he shouts, Jesus, here I am. Take notice of me. Short Zechariah, so short. He was physically disabled. His physical circumstances could have dictated what he did, but he rose above the circumstances. He had for himself a boom gekry. Nie boom nie. Wettig of nie. He found himself a boom. He climbed up the boom so that he could see Jesus. And Jesus said, Zechariah, hey, but I'm going to chow with you in your house today. I'm going to chow with you. That's it. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. People started pressing into the kingdom of God, reaching forward for what God has for them. And that's the idea. Men were pressing into it with great enthusiasm, resembling violence or desperation. Church, how desperate are you for more of God in your life? I say that and I get emotional about it because I think to myself, Mozzie, you're so sucked up in the things of this world. If all of that enthusiasm and energy and excitement that you have for other stuff, if that could all could be channeled and pointed to the person of the Lord Jesus, surely I'd be a different man of God. Surely I'd be a different breed of Christian, a different species of believer. So this morning, you ask yourself, how desperate are you for the next move of God in your life? How desperate are you to hear God speak to your spirit? How desperate are you to read your Bible and find something? You let mensen come my way to say, yes, Mozzie, I read this and it just popped out at me. I've seen it before, but it just spoke to me. How desperate are you to have that in your Bible study? Kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. It expresses the earnestness that men must have in getting rid of sin. You see, people, let me continue what Blake says. He says, it expresses the earnestness that men must have in getting rid of sin, all satanic powers, the world, and standing and in standing true when relatives oppose them. How many of you experience opposition from family, friends, and relatives? Here's the deal. It's one thing to be aware of the consequences of sin. It's one thing to be afraid of the consequences of sin. But it's another thing altogether to hate the consequences of sin. Let me, as I challenge myself this morning, people, please, I don't want to speak at anybody this morning. I don't want to preach down on anybody. I'm doing my best by the help of God to share my heart this morning. Have you changed something in your life because you're concerned about the consequences of sin, but inside you still want it? Maybe you stopped doing something, or maybe you're trying to stay away from something because you know it's wrong and you know it's displeasing, but inside you still want it. You see, that means that there's an area of my heart that I've not yet surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. It's very quiet in this building this morning now, but it's the truth. Isn't it nice that we can come to church and hear the truth? Because we're family, aren't we? We're family, man. We can speak family matters with each other. That means there's an area of my heart that I've not yet let Jesus be Lord. That means there's an area of my flesh that's stronger than a part of my spirit that should be telling the flesh, flesh, shut up, you listen. Jesus is in control of me. And we're all a work of grace in progress. So may God help us to grow to the point where we hate sin. Where we hate sin. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I believe it's Proverbs 8 and verse 13. It says that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate sin. So hating sin is the beginning of wisdom. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, The fear of the Lord is to hate sin. May God help us to get to the place in our lives where we hate sin. Where it's not about, Lord, I want to stop doing this because I know it grieves your heart. And that's okay. That's fine if it's in your life. You have this love relationship with the Lord and you want to stop doing or craving for things or whatever because you know it grieves the Lord. But may God grow us to the point where we hate sin. Where we hate sin. The scripture teaches us as believers to stay away from the very appearance of sin. And I'm going to paraphrase. In other words, what we're doing mustn't even look like sin. It mustn't even look like sin. That's how he's called us to live. That's how he's called us to live. It's a high standard. It's a high standard. But Jesus enables us to live like that by his Spirit. Can you say amen? So that's what he says about the kingdom of heaven, to press in to the kingdom of heaven like this. Here is our vision, bringing the unchurched into the family of God to advance his kingdom. And it sounds so lekker, but how do we do that? How do we do it? Folks, now I'm going to give you a revelation. Maybe it will cause you to go find another church where a pastor knows what he's doing. But I confess to you this morning, and I declare publicly, I haven't a cooking clue how to grow a church. Some of you are like shocked. I don't know how to grow a church, but Jesus does. Jesus does. It's his church. And you say, well, I'm just going to pitch up here. Jesus said he's going to build a church. So I'm just going to watch and see what happens. No. We have a responsibility. First of all, be available. Make yourself available for some form of Christian service somewhere, somehow. En nie net, ek hoef die kerk toe te gaan nie, ek kan die Here dien by my huis. Ja, jy kan, but he told you not to just do that. The Bible does say you must go to church. Moet niemand vir jou die leen vertel, waar het sê, the Bible doesn't say you must go, it does say you must go to church. It says, do not stop getting together like this. Hebrews 10, 25. I think. Where is it? I'll give it to you. Do not stop gathering together in this way, as some are in the habit of doing. Don't stop getting together. The Bible does say that. So you can't just say, Jesus said he's going to build a church, I'm going to stick around and see what happens. No. Make yourself available. Get involved in some form of Christian service somehow, somewhere. Say, well, I'll volunteer. Volunteer, I don't know, I'm just volunteering. If there's anything to do. So many, you know, that's how we choose leaders. I don't choose a leader because they can raise the dead or walk on water. I'm not interested in those spiritual gifts. Is your character at the point where you're willing to serve? Are you willing to take that brush and clean the toilet bowl? If you're not willing to do that, you're not leadership material. Sorry, that's how we choose leaders. Are you willing to serve? Why? Because what did the greatest leader of all time do? He came and he washed the feet of the man who betrayed him. He came to be served. Hoekom moet dit enigstens anders te wees vir ons wat leierskap wil bekom? Can't be any different, says this. So, God tells us how to build the kingdom. Are you ready for that? Do you want to hear how to do that? 5 of you do. Okay, so come back to church next week and we'll explain. No. I'm going to give you 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. Got to go through these scriptures and then I'm done. Then we're going to worship the Lord together one more time. Can you say amen? 1 Peter chapter 2. And I see. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. This is how we do it. We're going to read it through and then we're going to just break it up a little bit. So, everybody say so. It's like God saying, right, this is the plan. So, get rid. Everybody say get rid. Of all evil behavior, be done. Everybody say, be done. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. I think that disqualifies most of us, if not all of us, just over there. And we haven't even gotten to verse 2. Verse 2, like newborn babies, you must crave. Everybody say, crave. What does it look like when you crave something? Can somebody show me? What does it look like when you crave something? Can somebody show me? That's so cute. You've got to love that. Okay. It says, Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow. Everybody say grow. Into a full expression of salvation. Yeah, I love this part of the translations. Grow into a full expression of salvation. Not just an emotional thing you went through at the altar call. Cry out. Everybody say cry out. Cry out for this nourishment. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness, you are coming to Christ, who's the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones. Everybody say living stones. That God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, your spiritual sacrifice that please God. What a beautiful passage of scripture. Our building material is precious, precious people. This is how we build. God says, get rid of all evil behavior. We did that this morning, isn't it? We repented of our sins. That's what it means. Lord, cleaning house, making sure your spiritual home is cleaned up and sorted out. Getting rid of all evil behavior. Be done, and it mentions all those things, deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and unkind speech. Be done with that. Get it over with. Get it over with. Stop it. Like newborn babies, you must crave for this nourishment now that you've had a taste of the Lord's goodness. Our responsibility is to grow in Him, to crave for Him, and to cry out for Him. To grow in Him, to crave for Him, and to cry out for Him. And this is our heart's cry, Lord. We're crying out for you to have... I learned this week. God will only do for you what you let Him do through you. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? God will only do for you what you let Him do through you. That's beautiful. So we need to cry out to Him, grow in Him, and crave for Him. Our building material is extremely precious. The building material that we use is not cement and bricks and reed bar and electrical cables and air cons and stuff. Our building material is living stones. Precious, precious people. Look at us. We're a funny bunch of people, aren't we? Once is my snarks, man. I don't know how fond you are of how you look, but I think we're funny. We're funny, man. God has put us together in strange ways. I was joking with Reika early this week at our care group, got together for a bit of just social fun, and she's had braces put in her mouth, and I said, you know, I so wish I'd done what you'd done when I was your age, a teenager, just gone for braces, but I was too proud and too stuck up and too self-conscious and too self-perverse, and I was full of myself, more full of myself than I am now, and I didn't go for braces. So as a result, when I come around the corner, you see my teeth first. And I sit there, look at that. I mean, we're funny, man. But you know what? God has chosen us. God has chosen us. He's chosen us with all our issues and our hang-ups. Ons is hier te groot en daar te klein, daar te kort, daar te lank. All these things. I tell you now, if you had an opportunity to change yourself, to look exactly the way you want you to look, ek gee jou 'n week. Skin minute, and you'll want to change something again. You'll want to change something again. So our building material is the precious living stones of people. God sends us people. Our building material is people, the unchurched. Bikers are friends and families, first and foremost, but not exclusively. Around you, are they unchurched people? Ek praat nie van gelowiges nie. Is that the right word, gelowiges? Believers. Is that the right word? I'm not talking about believers. They're believers, but they're unchurched. Jy weet, kerkding is, dis iets wat hulle net nie doen nie. How about you inviting them? Just invite them. So you know what? Just invite them. First, maybe you must invite them to your home, or invite them for a braai, or just something. Get to know them a little bit and then invite them to church. Just invite them to church. Bring in the unchurched. They're the precious, precious living stones God wants to use to build His kingdom. As the deep end comes up, share this last scripture with you. Folks, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And because Jesus is busy building it, Jesus has never failed at anything he has ever done. He's never failed at anything he has ever done, and he's not going to fail at this. And I say that to say this, to end off with this verse. There's no turning back. There is no turning back. I think we sing that in that song, Walking on Water. There's no turning back. My eyes are on you, Lord. There's no turning back. Isaiah 43 and verse 13. And the NLT says, from eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. Some translations say, I work, and who can reverse it? No one. I'll read it one more time. It's ministering life as I hear it again. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. As we sit here this morning, we need to ask ourselves some sobering questions. Say, Lord, am I part of your building process? Are we allowing God to do for us what he can only do through us? Maybe you're not at a place where you're part of God's building program. Maybe you're just somebody that not really involved in church life, and this is not taking up church membership or wearing a particular badge. This is about you saying, Lord, here I am. Use me for something somehow to advance your kingdom one heart at a time. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you don't even have a relationship with Jesus, where the things of God, you think to yourself, Mozzie, the things that I've done, God is so far out of my life. God can't use me. Maybe the devil has lied to you and told you that you're not good enough. You've repented too many times. Yet te veel keer droog gemaak. God doesn't want to use you. I want to tell you that's a lie. God will use anyone and everyone that's willing to come to him in humility. God wants to use you. Maybe you don't know Jesus this morning as your Lord and Savior. Miskien is hy net die groot baas daarbo. You don't even call him Abba Father, Daddy God. If that's you this morning, I'd like you to consider, seriously consider, prayerfully consider starting a personal relationship with Jesus. How do you do that? One prayer of repentance. Not taking up church membership, wearing a particular badge, but a prayer of repentance. If you're at that place this morning in your life where your relationship with Jesus is not like it should be, I'm going to ask us all to pray. All pray together. This is the most important time of the service. Intercessors, Christians, continue to pray. Pray in the Spirit. And consider where you're at in your life this morning. If your relationship with Jesus is not what it should be, right there, where you're seated, acknowledge to yourself, Lord, that's me. That's me, Lord. My relationship is not like it should be with you. I want to pray firstly for you this morning. Lord, for those who have made this acknowledgement in their heart. We can't fix that, God. We can just come to you and ask you to fix it. And I ask you to fix the relationship with every man and woman that is praying this prayer in their heart right now. Restore that intimacy. Restore that first love. Heer, gee vir hulle 'n begeerte om voluit vir U te leef. Om te volhard by hierdie beslissing. Om committed te bly, Here. Om heeltyd staat te maak op die leiding en die invulling van die Heilige Gees wat ons die vermoë gee om hard by U aangesig te gaan soek. Sodat ons leefwyse op so 'n manier kan wees dat die mense 'n lewendige God binne aan ons sal kan raak sien. Pray for those this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I want to pray for you if you have no relationship with Jesus. If you have no relationship with Jesus, right there where you sit. If you're not sure that you're going to live forever with Jesus in heaven because of your past or because of what people have told you, right there where you're seated, I want you to pray this in your hearts. Sê, Hemelse Vader, ek kom na u toe vanoggend in die naam van Jesus Christus. Here, ek bely met my mond en ek glo in my hart. Jesus Christus, u is God se seun. En ek glo u het gesterwe en was gekruisig en was vir 3 dae dood in die graf vir my sondes, vir my onthaalwe. Het u gesterf. En die kosbare bloed is gestort om my te vergewe. Ek glo ook, Here, dat u na 3 dae opgestaan het uit die graf, sodat ek die ewige lewe kan beerwe. Ek vra u nou, Here, vergewe my vir my sondes. Was my, maak my skoon, geef my 'n rein hart. Ek vra u ook, Heilige Gees, om van nou af in my te woon, kom bly in my, Here. Lei my elke dag. Ek maak 'n commitment en ek bely in my hart en met my mond om vir die res van my lewe u te volg. En die werking en die help van die Heilige Gees gee vir my die vermoë om dit te doen. Dankie dat u lief is vir my. Dankie dat u gesterf het vir my. Dankie dat ek 'n kind kan wees van die lewendige God. In Jesus se naam. Amen. Would you stand with us together, the whole church, as we worship the Lord together one more time? As we get ready to worship the Lord, I'm going to ask you to do a bold, bold statement this morning. If you've prayed that second prayer, maybe for the first time in your life, maybe you've recommitted your life to the Lord, and maybe even if you ask God to restore your relationship, we'd love to pray with you. But especially for the folks that have committed their life to the Lord and are not sure about where they're going to spend eternity. If that is you and you prayed that prayer in your heart, I'm going to ask you, please, if you're serious about your commitment to Jesus, not because anybody's watching or this is not about anybody else but you and the living God. That is all that matters this morning. If you've prayed that prayer this morning, and you're sincere in your walk with God, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Please come forward. We're not going to take your number to make sure that you remember and send you emails to trouble you. We want to make sure that you understand what has happened in your heart. If you've prayed that for the first time, we want to give you a little book to help you understand. We've got it in English and Afrikaans. And if you've prayed that second prayer, you say, Lord, I don't know where I'm going to spend heaven, and I want you, Lord. I want a relationship with you, Jesus. And you've made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. As the worship starts, as the music starts, they're going to play soft enough. The folks are going to meet you in front. They're going to pray with you. And we're going to give you a book to help you understand. So I'm going to ask you one more time. If you've prayed that second prayer the first time in your life and you're serious about your relationship with Jesus, please come forward. We'd love to pray with you.